Welcome to the Start, Scale, Succeed podcast with me, your host, Nicole Higgins, the buyer and retail coach, sharing tips, advice, and insight from entrepreneurs that have just launched to multi-million pound business owners. We will be discussing the challenges they faced, advice they would give, and the milestones they achieved and how they got there. Also joining me will be a broad range of experts with some tips and practical how-tos, episodes that will help your business grow and to enable you to live the life you crave. The types of experts that you'll hear from will be those that you will find beneficial as you start and scale your business, from branding and social media experts to mindset coaches in PR and marketing. There will also be solo episodes from me discussing a variety of topics from sourcing to maximizing the profit in your business. You may be thinking at the moment you're at a crossroads and thinking about different ways to pivot your business to keep on going. They are some of the topics I am going to be talking to Kaylee today, the founder of Mini & Moi, a beautiful children's wear boutique in Knutsford. Kaylee, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It is great to talk to you, and we've got a lot to talk about today. But before we get into how you're pivoting and what you're doing with the business, tell me a little bit about your background and how Mini & Moi came about.
Basically, lived and breathed buying, was a buyer for 20 years. And then it was towards COVID. I had just had my little boy, my first boy, and I was on maternity leave. I was sort of thinking, how can I carry on in buying? How will it be having children? So I started to think about other things I could do that would still be related to buying. And that's when, in the middle of the night, one night, Mini & Moi came into my head at 2 a.m. in the morning when he was two weeks old. Anyway, didn't really give it much thought, was on mat leave, tried to change my hours at work, and there was lots of conversations. And basically, long story short, I ended up taking a redundancy package during COVID, which I was bittersweet. I was gutted about because I loved my job and I felt I'd just become a mom. As lots of female founders out there start businesses when they become moms, it's a tricky time because you kind of lose yourself and who you were. There's just so much change when you become a mom anyway. So to kind of then not have your job to go back to is kind of losing a lot of you. But I just kind of thought, right, what is the next plan? What am I going to do now? And I turned to my husband and, you know, obviously we were in COVID. No one was hiring buyers. People were closing left, right and center, really struggling. And I was like, how am I going to do what I love and continue to do that and not lose myself in this climate, in what was going on? It was just mad. And I just turned to my husband and said, you know, that idea I had, that Mini & Moi idea 9 months ago, I'm going to do that. He was shocked, to say the least, and kind of said, I don't think so. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. So I did it. And we are how many years later? It's so weird to think about how it came about now, but it feels like 2 minutes ago, but like 10 years ago at the same time. So Mini & Moi. So it started off as a concept that was for mum and baby, selling really super beautiful, unique, handmade things that you couldn't really get anywhere else. So really gorgeous gifts, you know, just really unusual, handmade, special pieces. I started to do my research. I started to meet suppliers, brands, and it was all done by email. It was all done, you know, over the phone. At that point, no one could see anyone. We were all in masks still, and it was a really odd time. So I kind of then just started to build the brands, add and sort of mind mapping constantly, you know, what could this business be? What could it look like? It basically started off as a really lovely mum and mini boutique, with massive emphasis on do not forget the mum, you know, yeah, behind the baby. You know, she would like a treat too. And quite often people do come into the store still today and say, you know, what can we buy? And I suggest taking something for the mum instead. And they jump at the idea because it's so nice to remember them in the equation of baby stroke babies. So yeah, that was my real, like, don't forget the mum behind the mini. That was one of my sort of USPs. This sort of really lovely, unique product was where the business started. It's a very, very different place today, but that's where it came from.
You started off with online, or did you have bricks and mortar from the beginning as well?
So how it happened was, I said, I'm going to start this business, and there was nowhere to go and sell in a store or be a concession, or that was not an option at the time. So I started online, which for me is crazy because I'm really not a technical person. I was never on Instagram. I was never, even though I was quite an experienced buyer, I wasn't into like Instagram and that side of it. And, you know, all the young kids in the office would always be like, oh, you know, I was a bit of a joke because, you know, my assistant at the time set me up on Instagram and she was like, you're going to do some posts on Instagram. I was like, no, I'm not. I don't need to. You know, I was a bit sort of fearful of stuff like that, majorly out of my comfort zone. But when it came to this point of launching this business, online was really the only way. And really the only way to be seen online was through social media at that point. First of all, I set up an Instagram account to kind of like start getting it closed, a private one, to kind of start getting a few things on my grid and learn how to use it completely from scratch. I had no idea how to do anything on there, honest to God. It's laughable looking back, really, but you have to start somewhere, don't you? So I built the social media page up. And in the meantime, I was gathering my suppliers, gathering my product, brainstorming away. And then I started to build the website through the night. It was during COVID. My husband would be at work every day. I would be with the 9-month-old. And when he came in, bath the baby. And then I'd start work about 9 o'clock to about 3 in the morning, building the website every night through COVID on Shopify, which I don't know how many people use it, but it's probably one of the best things, one of the best decisions I made in the business to use that platform. So yeah, I spent many nights at my kitchen table crying with wine, trying to figure out how to do certain things that were really, really small, technical wise, but just tricky to figure out. And I remember I used to call my sister a lot, who had set up her business with Shopify. So she was a great sounding board. But yeah, so it started online and then I grew the social media. When the website launched, I opened the social media to be public, and yeah, then it just kind of went from there.
So you now have a bricks and mortar store.
Yeah.
When did you open the physical space?
So from that point, just to fill in, you know, because lots of people have to do lots of different things to get a business off the ground. When I opened the website, I actually had a part-time job alongside it. So for about 6 months, I would come home from that part-time job, pack orders, do social media, you know, working literally around the clock to try and sort of do the part-time job for consistency and income and get the website off the ground. And then basically it was, I think, the Christmas during COVID, I also got married. Just thought I'd throw a wedding in there because, as you'll learn, I'm someone who just takes stuff on and on and on. Had the wedding, got pregnant with my second child, and then basically decided to leave my current job and put everything into Mini & Moi because it was like buying, as you'll know, you're either in or you're out. It's, you know, it takes all of your brain power. And I knew that at that point, to give Mini & Moi a proper go, and, you know, I'd started to get orders in and, you know, there was starting to be some traction. I said to my husband, what am I going to do here? And, you know, we made the decision for me to quit that job. I was pregnant and focus on Mini & Moi. At this point, I was 4 months pregnant, and there's a town around the corner from me with a great market stall area. And I went to see them one day and said, can I have a stall? Can I have a spot on the market? And they said yes. So at 4 months pregnant, I opened Market Stall, a really affluent sort of market town area. Really good footfall. I got my friend, who was a VM that I used to work with, over to my house. We were building this Market Stall setup on my dining room table. And then I implemented it to the stall. And yeah, that was the first point that the business really, really started to take off. And people were seeing me. We were getting the feedback, the good traction. They were then going online. And, you know, the penny at that point dropped that you could be online only, but really, I'm a people person. I want to speak to people. I want to meet those people in life, get them to go to online and sort of grow it like that.
Yeah.
Circular. Yeah. So like a funnel, you'd see them, they'd come in, they'd buy something on the store, they'd tell their friends, five friends would go online. And yeah, and then each week you were being discovered by new people. And I did find at this point online, really, you know, working late at night on your own. Yeah, from being a buyer with a massive team around me, it was a complete swing and I wasn't happy at that point. And as soon as I opened the stall, the Kaylee sparkle was back.
Yeah.
So I opened the stall, had Ivy, my second child, continued on the stall. But when I had Ivy and it was growing and growing and growing, I came across a shop in a local area. And at this point, lots of brands wouldn't stock me without a bricks and mortar store. So I was thinking at this point, the answer was to have a bricks and mortar store to get these brands on board. And that was the key to growing the business. A store came up. I got my hopes up massively. We nearly completed. And there was a conflict of interest with another store around the corner who also sold some children's wear. So it fell through and I was devastated. And then a couple of weeks later, I was in my hometown. I was on the phone to an agent and he said, you know what? I've got this store that's just come up around the corner. And there you go. Done. It's done. I decided to take it on. So that's the point to which I got the shop. So that was 2 years ago this June. Yeah, 2 years ago this June.
And how has that journey gone from now, 2 years ago to now? How has it been? Because we'll talk about the decisions that you're about to make and how it's changing. But how was it at that beginning and how did it change?
So it was such excitement at that point. I thought, yeah, you know, I'm going to get these brands on board. I'm going to open this shop. It's the dream. It's the key to making the business work. Because throughout the whole of this thing, I suppose from having that call and accepting the redundancy, I just wanted this to work. And I was just living and breathing it. And I was just like, I will not stop until this is a success. And I can look back and think, you know, there's been a reason for all of this to happen. It's because I can now do the job I love around my children in my hometown with no stress. Yeah, so at that point, it was just excitement. And it was like, right, this is the answer. I took on a space where I was from a retail background, so I know how hard it is to get people into a store. And I had seen over the years many stores giving off different bits of space to other concessions, you know, to encourage footfall and to cover the bills, I guess. So I was like, right, I'm going to get a space that I can create this community hub in, and it's not just a shop. So the store I chose had an upstairs studio space where I was going to hold classes, you know, like baby massage and things like that. I was like, I've got this grand plan. We're going to hold classes. We're going to do crafting classes. It's going to be a bit of a social community hub, and the footfall will then help the sales and put us on the map. So I opened. It was a struggle. You know, Ivy was 6 months old when I got the keys to the shop. But I was very, very, you know, if I don't do this, I could regret it. So I just went with it. A lot of my friends and family were kind of not against it, but worried about the timing. And I was just like a dog with a bone. I was like, no, I'm going to do it. So yeah, opened with a struggle, made myself quite ill while opening just because it was just such a lot of work with having such a young baby. But did open. And yeah, for a few weeks, it was this like honeymoon, you know, phase. All right, I've done it. It's great. It looks lovely. Everyone loves the shop. But then the penny started to drop just how hard this journey was going to be. We basically had people doing the classes upstairs that classes weren't getting full enough quick enough. So each week, one by one, people doing the classes would say they can't continue. I found it difficult to get people to rent the space. So this great plan on paper was all of a sudden becoming difficult to actually execute. And not only that, people that were coming into the store weren't necessarily converting to sales. So actually, the plan didn't feel like it was working. So anyway, I decided to open a playroom upstairs in the studio space. So that was the November. So I opened in the August, and this was November. So, you know, it wasn't quite working. I had to change something. So I made a decision to do that, and that will be the fix, because we always think there's a fix around the corner. Opened the playroom. Everyone loved it. The community were there. The people were there every day. They were having parties at weekends, but it became such a lot of work that I basically decided I had to close it because it was distracting me from the business and it still wasn't driving sales, which is the whole reason I took on the extra space. It got to the point where I was going in on my one day off a week, not seeing the family, having to go in to do birthday parties. You know, I spent half my life tidying up the playroom rather than focusing on the website. So I just thought, you know what, this is working. People love it, but is it working for me? Is it working for the business? Is it achieving what I wanted to set out and, you know, what I set out to achieve? And no, it wasn't. So I decided in the Jan. So I moved in the August, did the classes, opened the playroom November, decided in the Jan that I couldn't continue with that and thought, right, I'm going to just cut the space loose and sublet it. So that's what I did. I found someone, sublet it, and then a lady joined me upstairs with her business, and that worked really well from that point. So that kind of brings us up to this time last year, I guess. And then in a nutshell, this last year, I have run the business downstairs with Lucy upstairs. It was a roller coaster last year. We had some great months. We had some slow months, but on the whole, it always seemed to be, you know, when it was slow, it would recover back. The town that we are in, it's very sleepy. It's got quieter, and it's just been a roller coaster. So I suppose all the way through last year, I was thinking, right, you know, am I ever going to be able to actually get this off the ground and for it to work how I see it working and be able to have staff so that I can actually step away from the business? And I started to ask myself a lot of honest questions about, was it the right thing to do, open the store? In some days and some weeks, but some months, yes. Some months, no. So in November last year, I actually rejoined the market house where I was before, just to get back out there and be seen. So essentially, for the last sort of 6 months, I've been running two locations with the help of one person one day a week and two small children to look after. And it's just got me to a point now, if I'm really honest, where I just think, right, okay, I can carry on like this. Or do I need to just stop and really, really ask myself, what's it going to take to make this business not only work, but actually work for me? So yeah, that's the point I've got to now, basically.
And we were talking a little bit before we pressed record about not being able to stand out enough, and the area that you're playing in terms of kids' boutique and that kind of thing, it's getting a very crowded area. Mm. Mm. And so what are you moving to now so that you can still have your own business And what are the decisions that you have made now to help move you forward?
So, like I say, last year was a roller coaster, and throughout the year, although, you know, someone was in the premises upstairs and it started to get easier than harder than easier than harder, I was starting to ask myself a lot of questions about where am I going with this? Like you said, it did become apparent that the marketplace was getting crowded with the brands that I stocked. It felt like it had started to become a bit of a price war on key brands. You know, a lot of the brands are over-distributed and they create this need for retailers to reduce things to capture people's sales. I've known that this is what happens for a while, but actually having my own business and seeing it myself, it just really hit home. Okay, how is there longevity in just selling the range of products that I'm selling at the moment? You know, you've got, like I said to you before we started, you've got people emailing out at the minute emails, you know, 30% off all new in on whatever the brand is. And it's like, oh my God, it's a good job I don't stock that brand anymore, because how would I compete with that as a small business? I haven't been able to go out and buy 10,000 of something and reduce the price and get a good, really good price on it, then reduce it. You know, it damages the brands. It damages the reputation of brands. It damages the reputation of retailers when we have to just keep price reducing things all the time. And yeah, I just thought, how am I ever really going to continue to compete in that space? And also, you know, do I get real joy out of buying other people's things and selling them? Or what is my real passion? And as it turns out, my real passion is being a buyer, but the product development side of being a buyer. Starting with a seed of something, bringing it to life, choosing the colors, the buttons, is that fit right? Does the length need to be smaller? All of these little details that when you see someone walking down the street in your item, give you a massive buzz, and knowing that you've made someone happy with something that they've purchased and feel good about themselves. So I knew about mid last year that I wanted to continue with my own brand. So we currently do have stocked some Mama and Mini matching things, only a couple of styles, and not in the way that I actually want to execute them. But we have done a soft launch of some items, and every time we launched them, they would completely sell out. Some of them would even sell out on pre-order. And, you know, they were a real success story and people loved them, and it was our USP. And I would see people at the nursery pick up at the drop-off in these matching Mamarini sweatshirts, or, you know, a friend would message me on you know, WhatsApp and go, oh my God, you know, my friend's just turned up for a play date and she's in your stuff. She's in your Mamarini mini set. And it was like, oh my God, yes, yes. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I did my job for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I need to get that part back, because that's the bit I love. That's the bit I actually love. And that's the bit that I should move into to grow this business. So
you've made the decision to close the bricks and mortar premises.
So as part of launching the own brand now, I have decided that it's time to say the store isn't working for me. I'm going to struggle to make it work. And actually I need to pivot and now put all of my focus into my own brand and stockist for that brand.
So you'll close the bricks and mortar and you'll just sell off the rest of the brands that you have on the website, and your focus will be your own brand that you'll create, or are you still going to have
products? So the idea is to still sell both, but reduce the amount of brands that we sell and keep the brands that are, you know, really successful, have a good reach, you know, complement our own brand and sort of build a nice range around our own brand. So we will still definitely continue with some of the brands, but it will not be our sole focus, basically.
And yeah. How do you feel? Because it can take a long time to get to that decision. How do you feel now about that decision?
I feel confident that it's definitely the right thing to do. I feel if I was honest with myself, you know, 6 months ago, I probably could have made that decision then. But I think I was so obsessed with trying to make what I'd set up work and not give up. But actually, it's not giving up to change and to change your direction. That is what everyone needs to do to survive when something isn't quite working for them. And the longer you go down a route and bury your head in the sand, the longer it will take to get to a better solution. I feel now I've made that decision, it feels like a massive relief. And I'm just really excited about the next chapter now, really.
And if you could give yourself one piece of advice at the start of this journey, what would it have been?
So it would probably be to follow your gut. Well, there's two bits actually. Follow your gut and stop and think. Because they go hand in hand to making better decisions. There's been so many things along this journey where I've had like a little, you know, little niggle in my stomach. Is that the right thing to do? And I've still gone ahead and done it anyway without stopping to think properly. And then it's later led me to regret something. So like when I took on the shop, you know, I was like, this needs to be perfect. This needs to be done, blah, blah, blah. And I repainted the shop window. It cost £700. It didn't need to be done. But because I was obsessed with having this shop front, you know, that £700 could have gone into stock, could have gone into marketing, could have gone into anything else. But every it's something that always comes to my mind. Every time I look back now, I think, oh, I shouldn't have spent that on that. It didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that would be my biggest advice looking back, is that I'm quite an instant person and I'm full of ideas, but to tell myself to stop, think and listen to what my gut's telling me on certain situations would definitely be number one.
Are you ready to scale your e-commerce store? Want to do it without having to wear yet another hat and become a digital marketing expert? This episode is brought to you by Neon Digital Clicks, the paid traffic partner for family and women's e-commerce brands wanting to scale their stores from five-figure to six-figure months using Meta, Google and Klaviyo marketing services. Neon is offering listeners a free scaling audit worth £3,000. So whether your sales have plateaued or you're looking for growth, this is a great opportunity to lift the lid on your business and identify where the opportunities are hiding. Head to scalingglow.com to discover just how much revenue you could scale your store to this year.
And with the new brand, with your own brand that you're launching, what's that going to look like? Is it a new collection every season? What's your plan for that?
So the plan will be to have an always in stock part of it. So we will just change or update colours every 12 months, and then there will be seasonal drops. So yeah, I will keep good, better, best, the sponge at the bottom of the cake, things that we run all year round. We might just flip a colour out here and there. And then, you know, the filling in the middle will be the nice bit. And then we'll have a couple of cherries around, you know, Christmas or high summer. So yeah, it will basically be a Mama and Mini matching brand. But at some points there will be things that spring off that, like a few mini only pieces, a few Mama only pieces, essentials. Yeah, it's going to cover all categories. But for this season, we're actually planning to launch about 30 styles. That's actually 30 options, not 30 styles. Yeah.
Your plan to wholesale the brand as well?
We've actually already got a couple of wholesale orders, which is amazing. And we've got quite a few people who are interested, but we are just waiting to get our bulk production set of samples to propose those to the interested people. But we've had a really, really good reaction to it. And that is what has also given me, you know, the confidence to feel good about this decision and closing the store, and, you know, that we're doing the right thing going forward. That, you know, the fact that we've got a couple of wholesale orders at this point is a great sign.
To have them without you even being launched really is.
Yeah.
And what's the most valuable lesson you've learned about yourself over the last 6 to 12 months?
So the most valuable lesson is that my biggest fear is failing. But what I've learned is that I actually need to relook at what failing looks like and not see it as failing, but see it as changing and pivoting and moving with what I need to do that so that it works for me and for the actual business, and in setting up something that long term is going to work for me financially and personally. So yeah, that's the biggest thing. My imposter syndrome is quite hard to control it. I'm sure we all have a little bit of it, but yeah, it's kind of getting a grip of that, because if you don't and you see yourself as failing and you let all these kind of voices in, then it will affect what decisions you make and how well you get through certain situations. So yeah, the biggest thing I've learned is that is my biggest fear, but actually it's just what I've created in my own head.
It's to rephrase that thinking of it, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly.
My daughter is 8 and she's got that happy self journal. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Yeah.
She was looking at it last night, actually, and she goes, "Mommy, what's this?" And it was about failing. And it was like, next time you'll fail better. And I was like, what does fail better mean? You still fail. And I was like, well, think of it when a baby takes those first steps, they'll only take one, but the next time they'll take three. So they've still not walked, but they've got
better.
And what's your biggest regret, and what would you have done differently then? Do you regret starting the bricks and mortar?
Yeah, so this is a tough one, because we can say there's things that we regret all the time, can't we, and would change. But actually, if I had to sum it up, and if people do ask me that question, I do say it was probably opening the shop and making that, you know, turning right on that pathway and opening the shop. However, I'm always then quick to say, no, it feels like that at the minute. Instead of opening the shop, I should have focused on the own brand at that point. But if I hadn't have opened the shop, I wouldn't have built the platform I've currently got to launch the own brand from.
Yeah.
So I can't really say that that's my biggest regret. I think what my biggest regret is, touching on the point I made before, is thinking and stopping and thinking specifically about cost. There's been so many things that I've done along the process that actually I could have just saved money here and there. I think that's one of my biggest regrets, is being a bit too instant and not stopping to think, actually, is that really needed? Could that money go to something better? And could that spend have got me to a, you know, got me further on in a different way? that's my biggest thing learning along the way is not thinking about cost enough, I think.
Yeah, and I think it 100%.
Sound basic, but.
No, I 100% agree with you that as a business, when you're starting out, you can think you need lots of things. You know, exactly. you really kind of can strip it back in terms of what you actually do need. Because, and like you say, what is that going to generate for you? What is that spend going to
Where's
give
it
gonna
you?
Get that, you? That £700 on the window is not going to give you any extra return.
No. You know? No, it's just, I thought I needed it at the time. I didn't need it. So yeah, it's really, that would be my biggest regret, is stopping at points like that and going, hang on, Kaylee, come on, think about that now. Where's it going to get you?
And what are you most proud of?
I've got to be honest, sometimes it's hard to, I think we're in this, everyone's in it, like day to day, you're living and breathing it. And it's sometimes difficult to forget what you have actually achieved. So, and until someone asks you that question, you don't think, what am I actually proud of? Because you're too busy looking at all the things that you're not proud of. But I suppose I'm most proud of the fact that I've set up a business in COVID with a 4- and a 2-year-old. And I have actually made and set up a legitimate business. Like, it's just madness, you know. So I suppose I'm most proud of where I've got to, given the situation personally that I've, you know, basically growing both children. And actually in the clothing label for the new brand, there's a message from me in every label that says something like, grown with something, made with my first, grown with my second, for you to enjoy with you and yours. So I can do what I love around my kids. And that's what it's about. Like, I think that's the thing, is being, I'm proud of what I have actually achieved while being a full-time mum as well, really. And also in this climate, like, businesses are, you know, dropping all around us. People are struggling. Well-known, amazing businesses are struggling. And, you know, us small businesses have really got to give ourselves some credit for where we've actually got to, even if that's not perfect. You know, where we've actually got to, given this current situation where people are struggling to spend money on things and people are struggling, you know, to have that disposable income as they once had. So I suppose I'm most proudest of where I've got to, given that situation.
And what would you like things to look like in 12 months' time?
So I would like to find something that I've never had, which is work-life balance. That's it. That's all I want. I would like to be able to have built a business that I actually really enjoy, which is predominantly the own brand, as I've spoken about, and that works well and is financially is a good equation and allows me to actually step away and have some me time and turn off. Yeah, that's where I'd like to be. And the other thing actually is, through doing that and through growing the own brand and working with a team of stockists, to have that team element feeling back of working with people, which I missed from my old role, you know, going from like a team of 10, 15 people in a massive business to being on your own every night at a computer or shop, you know, sat behind a shop till, is actually really lonely for me. I think the new direction I'm taking will allow me in 12 months' time to have so many ticks at the moment I just don't have. So yeah, that's where I'd like to be.
I think when you go through something, you know what you want and what you don't want. And then you can try and implement those changes, like in terms of how you're changing and going into own brand, but also then in terms of how your business is set up and knowing, right, okay, I like being around people. I'm going to work in a co-working space one day a week because I want to have those, you know what I mean? And you can make those changes and you can do those things. And when you know, you go through what you don't want, and it can be so lonely being an entrepreneur, you know, you really can. You don't have people to bounce the ideas off. It's finding those networks that you feel, you know, I can share this with that. I can get their opinion, or I can just have someone to sound off to or just be around.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. So important.
And when will Mini and What, your brand, have its launch? I know it's already there and you've already done a small element of it. But
yeah. So watch this space, really. It's going to be over the next couple of months. So we've got our first eight styles launching in the next couple of months. Basically, it's all ready to go, and then the rest of the winter collection will be September, August through to October this year, all being well.
Fantastic. And are you going to be doing any trade shows, or where can people
So I am looking at trade shows. I think, again, you know, like the instant Kaylee the other night was looking at shows like Playtime for July, you know, and then I stopped and I thought, right, what have I learned on this journey? Okay, I'm not really ready to go and present a brand there yet. It needs to look amazing and it needs to be a complete story to do that. So although I'm like, right, that will get me somewhere quicker, it probably won't, because I'm not going to be ready at that point to go and present the best, you know, the best version of it. So actually stop, save, focus on other things first, and then revisit that next year, you know, stop being so instant and stop and think. So
I think, you know, like that. With that trade show, it probably cost you about 7 or 8 grand by the time you've got this enough stock to fill it, the getting over there. So that's like 7 or 8 grand.
Yeah.
So to get that, how many orders do you need from that? Is that going to give it to you, you know, at that time? And are you ready?
At this point of where I am with the brand, no. So press pause until next year. But yeah, that is definitely something that I'm going to be doing, definitely.
And where can people find you and the brand?
So at the minute, we are at our store in Knutsford for the foreseeable until that actually closes in the next 8 weeks or so. We're online at www.miniandmoi.com. And then we are going to be back at Altrincham Market from June time-ish. So yeah, it's all just a bit of a moving thing at the minute until we can get the own brand out there. But yeah, so yeah, it's all just a bit of a moving thing. But that's where you can find us. We're obviously on Instagram as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for chatting. And I will be back again next week with another great guest.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Start, Scale, Succeed. If you've enjoyed today, I would love for you to leave a review, and I will see you again next week. If you'd like to hear more from me, your host, Nicole Higgins, you can follow me on Instagram at The Buying Retail Coach. Check out my website, www.buyingretailcoach.com, or find me on LinkedIn. All the links are below in the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, The Step, for lots of helpful tips and advice.